Valley. This is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation, and we are in the month of February. Can you believe that January is already gone? Seems like we just celebrated New Year's. I know I talked last Sunday, but I'm just amazed at how fast the year is already moving. And so, you know, a lot has happened over the last month. A lot has happened within the past year. So we're going to move on forward with today's conversation. And I will say is one that it's a conversation we need to have, something that we need to talk about. And here lately, over the past few years, as a society, we have struggled with dealing with and understanding and finding a possible solution or resolution to law enforcement shootings as it relates to African-American men. And I know this is a subject that's taboo to a lot of people. I know a lot of folks are not comfortable talking about it. And I also know there are a lot of people that think we don't talk about it enough. Wherever you fall on that spectrum, what I do hope is that as a society, we can find ourselves to at least listening to someone else's opinion, someone else's grief, someone else's personal experience to issues of that nature and how it may impact them and impact their family. You just never know at any given day or time where we may find ourselves in a situation where something similar or something of that nature may happen to someone that we're close to or someone that we're related to, a sister, a brother, a cousin. And we do have to talk about it from different spectrums, not just the conversation around the individual that may become a victim or may be involved in such incidents, but we also have to talk about it from the family perspective and what it does to a family and how it impacts a family. And so I am graciously honored to have with me today. It's not necessarily an exciting occasion, but I appreciate their courage and their willingness to come forth and have a conversation in regards to the topic that I just opened up with. So today we have with us relatives of Mr. Jarvis Likes. Many people knew him as Scotty. Many people knew him across the city of Columbus. He was a brother on the move, a brother impacting a lot of folks, and just, you know, well loved by so many. And Jarvis lost his life on December the 29th, 2017, and not trying to push a narrative or not trying to get caught up in you know, right or wrong or anything of that nature. What we do know, what is absolutely factual without question, is that Jarvis was shot by a Georgia State Patrol officer here in Columbus at Lumpkin Court. And the result of that shooting took his life. The circumstances leading up to and things of that nature is still, you know, we're still gathering facts and the family is still gathering facts. But I appreciate the family for being here today to have this conversation. Right now in the studio with me, I have Jarvis' mother, Miss Kathy Likes, and Jarvis' father, Mr. Joe Likes. And later on in the program, we're going to hear from his sister as well, Janisha, and she's going to come in and have a conversation with me as we begin to wrap things up. I'll wrap it up with Janisha and her mom, Miss Kathy. So, but right now we're going to open up with Miss Likes, Miss Kathy Likes, and Mr. Joe Likes. How are y'all doing today?
How you doing? How you doing, sir?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing absolutely fine. I just want to say thank you for coming in to have this conversation with us today. And at any point where, you know, the conversation gets tough, just let me know and we'll do whatever we need to do to make sure that you are comfortable through this conversation, because I understand that you have experienced a lot as a family. So Ms. Kathy, if you don't mind me opening up with you, can you just explain to us what you were doing on December the 29th, just 4 days after the Christmas holiday, when you got the call about your son Jarvis?
Actually, I had been cooking that night. And Jarvis had just came home.
So
because I had asked him to go to the grocery store. I needed some items from the store for the food I was cooking, which he did do. When he got home, he went into the bedroom with his dad, and they was watching one of the bowl games before he left to go to work. Jarvis had to be to work at 10 o'clock that night, and he left home around 9:26, heading to work. 5:30 Saturday morning on the 30th of December, we were notified of Jarvis' death by GBI agent as well as the coroner.
So you were notified of his death, so you never had an opportunity to go see him at the hospital or anything, so you...
No, not at all.
And so when they came to the door, what did they tell you?
I answered the door, and I asked them, can I help you? And the GBI agent said, yes, Kathy likes, Jarvis likes mother. I said, yes, can I help you? He said, well, we need to speak with you concerning your son, Jarvis. And would you like to step outside or can we come in the house? Because what we need to tell you is pretty bad. So I asked him to come into the house because it was cold that morning.
Yes, ma'am.
When they stepped in the house, they asked me, was there anyone else there at the home to be with me? And I told them, yes. I told them to hold on, and I ran in the bedroom, and I got my husband up, and I told him that the police was at the house concerning Jarvis.
Now, this is at 5:30 in the morning.
5:30 in the morning.
So I imagine you were asleep.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I wasn't asleep, but the rest of the family was.
Okay.
I was up still cooking.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh.
I was still up cooking when the doorbell rung.
Okay.
I went and I got my husband. He got up. I ran to my daughter's room and told her the police was here. She got up, and we all assembled in the living room. At that time, my daughter told me, she said, Mom, whatever you're about to hear, I want you to sit down and be calm. And I told her, I said, okay. I came on into the living room.
This was Janisha?
Janisha.
Do you think she had some kind of idea what you were about to hear?
No,
none of us knew
what we were about to hear.
Okay.
But we knew it had to be pretty bad if the coroner was there.
Yes, ma'am.
No. So
yes, ma'am.
I sat down, and the GBI agent started off telling us about Jarvis being in an incident that night, that there had been a DUI checkpoint, and Jarvis did a U-turn. He never did make it to the checkpoint. He made a U-turn before the checkpoint,
mm-hmm.
And headed the other direction. Like I said, Jarvis had to be to work that night at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So my assumption is he turned and went the other way so he would be on time for work. Anyway, the state trooper noticed Jarvis doing the U-turn and got into his car and chased behind Jarvis. Jarvis continued driving, and he drove into a neighborhood where he ended up on this dead-end street, which is Lumpkin Court. It's our understanding that the state trooper got out of his car with his gun drawn, and when Jarvis got out the car, the state trooper put his gun back into the holster and approached Jarvis. And we were told there was a physical altercation. Jarvis turned to re-enter back into his car. Said when he reached into his car, he had an object in his hand, and the state trooper shot him.
Where did you get this account of what happened? Where are you getting your account from as far as what happened out there?
We got this account from the GBI agent that came to the home at 5:30 that Saturday morning.
So that's what they told you?
This is what they told us.
Okay. And have you seen any video, or have you been allowed to see any video or anything that may corroborate that?
Unfortunately, there is no video. There is no video. According to the GBI agent, that the state trooper cruiser dash cam was not working. It was malfunctioned. said there was documentation showing where he had reported this dash cam not working properly. So, no, there is no video of this incident at all.
Wow. What was the object?
The object was his cell phone. That is what they found next to Jarvis' body on the ground, was his cell phone.
You know, that's disturbing, because we've heard so many narratives of this nature on a national level where someone was reaching for a cell phone, mm-hmm. and now they're no longer here because of a cell phone. And it's also unfortunate that the dash cam video, in which state taxpayers have funded to have in these state patrol vehicles for incidents like this, so that we will have a neutral narrative. No one can question a video. Well, some people still try to question videos, but at least the video would tell what happened, and there wouldn't be any room for anybody to suggest that a narrative has been changed. But when you remove that evidence, that becomes problematic. And as a state, if we were so assertive in demanding that we have these dash cam videos and body cam equipment on the officers, we should be just as assertive to make sure that the equipment is always functioning properly. If someone puts a service ticket in saying that their dash cam video isn't working properly, that car should be taken out of commission until that video is working properly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because without it, it's just like not having it, and we're back at square one again.
Exactly.
Now, so they gave you that account of what happened, and then what did they say to you?
My daughter, Janisha, basically talked with them more than I did, because mm-hmm. once they told me that my son had been shot and they said it was in the right shoulder.
Yes, ma'am.
I lost it. Anything else that was said, it was like a muffled sound to me. I didn't actually hear anymore. I mean, because I was absolutely... in shock.
Was Jarvis your oldest?
He was my only son.
He was my middle child.
Mm-hmm. But he was my only son. I have two daughters.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Jarvis was my only son.
Your only son.
Yes.
Your only son. I know it may be hard to put in words, but for those that are listening to you right now, can you attempt to describe what you felt when you heard that news?
It's hard to even answer, because that was something I wasn't expecting to hear at all.
Mm-hmm.
I went into shock. I was hysterical. My husband had to calm me down. It was just unbelievable, that I was listening to something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Not even really sure that I was listening to it right, because mm-hmm. my son was supposed to have been at work.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to have been at work. And I know he was supposed to have been there at 10 o'clock that night. So my thoughts were, you had the wrong person. This cannot be the right person. You mm-hmm. have the wrong person. I just don't know. I can't describe my feelings of hearing this time of morning from a GBI agent and the coroner standing in my living room.
I understand, and I can imagine it's very, very, very difficult for you as a mother. You, as an individual, you've seen other mothers on TV, Trayvon Martin's mother, and other individuals throughout this period of difficulty that we've had as a culture, as black men, and trying to find that peace and common ground to where at least a certain culture don't feel like their lives are easily taken, you know, which where the movement of Black Lives Matter came from. Prior to losing your son and seeing those other mothers in those situations, you know, did you ever say to yourself or have any type of feeling of, you know, what if this happened to me or anything of that nature? Did it ever cross your mind that way?
No. When I have followed these senseless killings of these young African-American men, I could feel the hurt of these mothers and fathers and brothers, sisters, uncles, cousins. I could feel the hurt because I heard it along with them. But I didn't actually understand the pain that these family members felt until it actually happened to me. And now I know how painful, not only just hurtful, but painful for a family to feel the loss of their loved one. It's just something that, you know, you have to really experience it yourself to understand what a mother feels when they lose a child. You know, we as mothers know how it feels when we give these children birth.
Yes, ma'am.
And give them life. But that pain is nothing compared to the pain and hurt of losing your child.
Yes, ma'am.
And I now am a part of those mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters that have lost their loved one, and I feel their pain. I understand how they feel.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Kathy, your bravery inspires me.
Thank you.
Your professionalism inspires me. Your compassion inspires me, and just having the brief moment that I've had with you here at the studio, I can only that brief interaction has given me a snapshot of what you were like as a mother. And I feel the love. I can detect the love, and it's certainly there. And Janisha, if you don't mind me asking you a question real quick, we're going to give Mama Kathy a slight break here. When you heard the news from that State Patrol officer, how did it make you feel?
Once hearing it through GBI, it was more of disbelief, hurt, anger. At the time, me having to be the one to have a calm head to actually get answers for them. Because my mom was hysterical. My father was trying to comfort her. I was the only one that had the opportunity to actually try to get whatever questions I was. There was. Mind you, it's 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
So you don't know what to think of.
You don't wake up with a line of questioning.
What happened? To be honest, it was more just disbelief. And it took me, and to be honest, I still haven't grieved yet and was able to let go. Mm-hmm. So, because I've been having to be that support for my mom and dad from the funeral to planning events going on for him, all type of things that makes it hard for me to even grieve and deal with the fact of me losing my brother. Mm-hmm. We were 10 years apart, but I was like, we were Bunny and Clyde, per se.
You're the baby girl.
Yeah, I'm baby sister.
Yeah, yeah.
For him, even if with him being older, if it was times that he needed advice or he just wanted to vent and talk to somebody, if he couldn't talk to anybody, it was me and him. We had mm-hmm. that bond like that. So they took away my best friend with the senseless killing that didn't have to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you question the accounts of that officer?
Very much so.
Would you say that it was in the nature of your brother to have a physical altercation with the police officer?
No, he wouldn't have a physical. Knowing him, to be honest with us speaking, he wouldn't have a physical altercation with the police officer. Number one, that's crazy. He has more sense than that. If anything, he would have ran from the police. Mm-hmm. Which is why he was on the chase. He wasn't going to fight a police officer. And he wasn't going in the car to get anything to shoot a police officer. If there's a physical altercation with the police and my brother, why didn't you tell him?
Yeah, and you know, you hate to do what in the sports world we call Monday morning quarterback and analyze, you know, just overanalyze something. But it just seems weird to me that if someone was going to have a physical altercation, if you had a weapon, you would have just got on out with it.
I would just got out with whatever weapon I had and just shot you right then. Why am I going to fight you if I want to put you in danger?
Wow. And so, from talking to your mom and your dad, you've been a very strong support base for them and for your family, and to be of such young age having to carry such burden, where do you find the will and the energy to do that?
Nobody but God. I break down sometimes, but I just keep praying and asking him to give me the strength. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Really hard. Mm-hmm. I just keep going day by day.
How would you describe the way that Mama Kathy raised y'all?
Okay. Well, my mom has a big heart. She's real loving. She's caring. And that's how we are. Like, we'll give you our last if we have to. Mm-hmm. To respect people, you know, we grew up in the church. It's always been about respect. Not saying we were the perfect kids forever, but one thing about it, we had sense, and she raised us to do right. Now, once you got grown and whatever you did from there, that was up to you. But she raised you to be right, to have that heart, to be caring and loving and just respectful and everything.
Right. Well, Janisha, we're going to come back to you in 1 second, and we're going to talk about some events that we have coming up that we're going to engage in to celebrate the life of Jarvis and give meaning to all of this. Mr. Jar, I want to talk to you as a father. As Jarvis' father, Mama Kathy said that night before, you and Jarvis were in there watching TV.
Yes, sir. We were watching the Georgia game, Georgia and Oklahoma. Yeah.
And that was a whirlwind of a game. So I can imagine that both of you were really into it, really enjoying the game.
Yes, he had to leave early because he had to go to work. And like I say, he had already said that would be a tough one there. And I said, yeah, it will be.
Well, how was your time with him that night watching the game? Was it something y'all normally wouldn't do, or was that y'all normal behavior?
You know, both of us are big-time college fans. I'm an Alabama fan. He's an Alabama fan. And we definitely are into college football. And like I said, he knew it like I do. We were just talking about it, so he told me it was going to be a good game. It was.
Do you find yourself replaying that night in your head? Now we know that was going to be the last time you saw your son alive.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. Because, you know, it still seems so unreal, you know. I like to ask my wife, I have all respect for the people, my hard wife, all the people that went through this. But I never thought it would happen in my case. And so, yes, it's with me.
And I just want us to go on the record here and be absolutely clear. Do you guys have law enforcement members in your family?
But my wife here worked as a security guard for years. Mm-hmm. She's one, and so was Jarvis. He's a security guard also.
So I think it's safe to say that there's no general hate in your heart for law enforcement officers.
No, sir. Not for anyone like that. I believe, and I'm going to start to believe that a human being is a human being, regardless of the color, regardless of beliefs or whatever. So he was always, I've taught to keep people nice. I taught him the same, and he always did that.
Right. And I just wanted to get that out there for those that, and we've seen some of the comments in social media and things of that nature, for those that want to judge you for trying to get to the truth, for finding an answer. And in my opinion, you're not doing anything different than what anybody else would do for their family members. And the fact that you have sat here today and confessed out of your own mouths that you do not generally hate law enforcement, but however, you just want to make sure that justice is served and the truth about what happened to Jarvis comes to light.
Exactly, sir.
And that's the path that you're on. Mr. Joe, as a dad, and having a very involved length of time of shaping Jarvis' life, how would you describe him?
Jarvis was a very caring young man. He had four kids. He loved them dearly. He tried to do the best he could for them. And like I say, out of 35 years, almost 36, I only had one altercation with my son. I whooped him one time because he wouldn't fight back. And that's the only other time that I ever had no quarrels, no nothing. He was not the type of person that argued and all that, and all around.
So he respected you as a dad.
Yes.
He respected authority.
Most definitely.
And you said he was a security officer himself. So he that's pretty close in line to the role of a law enforcement officer. Keeping the peace and protecting people was part of his job. Did you call him Scotty or did you call him Jarvis?
I called him by his middle name.
Okay. What and his middle name is?
Well, I call him Anwar. His name after Anwar the
Anwar Sadat.
Sadat.
Mm-hmm.
So his name is Jarvis Anwar. He didn't care for the Anwar part, so I call him Anwar.
What will you miss the most about Jarvis?
Like I said, I was talking. He kept me up with what happened with sports. Everything around the neighborhood, because you know I'm not a person to get out of. Like I said, the companionship, we just laugh and talk with each other, and always have fun.
Okay. Well, Mr. Joe, thank you so much for the time you've spent here with us today.
Thank you. I'd like to say my wife is telling you that said that the police put his pistol back in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He was told us that he put it back in his pocket and he grabbed Jarvis from behind and after the struggle. So it wasn't like Jarvis grabbed him. He grabbed Jarvis from behind. If any kind of altercation, that would start the struggle by him grabbing my son.
So you were given that account of what happened from the police told you that?
The GBI.
The GBI told you that the State Patrol officer grabbed your son from behind.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
When he was trying to
put the
Julian
into it. Right, so he's trying to use it, and then he put his pistol back in his pocket and grabbed him from behind. So, like they say, your mother couldn't handle him. He got angry and shot him.
Wow. 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 Well, you know, I just pray that the truth comes out here, whether there's a witness that may be afraid to come forth at this point, afraid of retaliation or retribution. You know, as Dr. King once said, injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we as a people, regardless of your color, regardless of your sex, regardless of your background, we should always want the truth and we should always want justice. And that's just very important on so many different levels. Let's talk about a couple events we got coming up. Janisha, if you don't mind, you and Miss Kathy speaking with me about this. I know coming up we're going to have a rally and a march pretty soon in honor of Jarvis. Can you talk to us about the dates and times of those events?
Okay, so we'll be having a rally February 17th,
mm-hmm.
Which is actually Jarvis's birthday. The march and rally, the march will start, we all will assemble at Grant Chapel AME on Casita Road at 12:30.
That's across from Elizabeth Canny Apartments.
Across from Elizabeth Canny. We will proceed to go up Casita Road towards North Lumpkin Road, where we will then turn right onto Thornton, and the march will end at Lumpkin Court, where we will then proceed with the rally with all of our spokespeople.
And what do you hope to accomplish on this day, Janisha?
just to let it be known that we're not laying down about the situation of what happened to my brother. To let them know he actually has a family that care. He's just not another person that was killed by a police officer and no one's doing anything about it and it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. No, this was senseless and we want it to be known that we want justice for Jarvis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And Ms. Kathy, thank you, Janisha, for that. And just to recap that, that's February the 17th. We're going to have a rally. And you said it starts at what time again?
Assembly at 12:30.
We're going to assemble at 12:30 at Grant Chapel AME Church on Casita Road. And we're going to march from there to Lumpkin Court. And we're going to have a rally at Lumpkin Court on that same day. And this is in memory of Jarvis. This is in the pursuit of justice. This is in... and seeking the truth, mm-hmm. and this is in the spirit of God's love for everybody.
That's right.
Regardless of who you are, that's regardless right. of your profession, regardless of your skin color, we are all His children, and He loves us all the same. Ms. Kathy, for those that want to come and participate, what do you want them to bring with them as far as the feelings in their heart or their spirit? What type of environment do you want this to be?
I want it to be a very peaceful demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure everyone understand this is, again, justice for Jarvis. We want to keep him in our thoughts as the person that he was, how he would want us to handle it. And again, we're not trying to cause a violent type atmosphere. We want this to be non-violent.
Mm-hmm.
Jarvis was non-violent.
Mm-hmm.
He was a passive person. Mm-hmm. And we want this march and this rally to reflect that.
Okay, and I'm glad you stated that this is about nonviolence. This is about demonstrating. This is about remembering. This is about peace. This is about love. What do you hope will be accomplished from the rally and the march?
I hope that it is time. Enough is enough.
Yes, ma'am.
Of this senseless carelessness, negligence of law enforcement officers, continuation of misconduct of our African American men.
Mm-hmm.
We are tired. We are tired.
Yes, ma'am.
This has to stop somewhere.
Yes, ma'am.
Somewhere it has to stop. And in order for that to happen, we have to join together, unite together.
Mm-hmm.
Make our voices heard to all that makes these laws and decisions and policies. You know, they have to know if something is wrong with your procedures and your policies, because this is continually to happen.
Yes, ma'am.
We got to stop this somewhere.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Kathy, was Jarvis the type to tell you that he loved you?
All the time.
When is the last time he told you?
The night that he left to go to work. The night that he was shot and killed. My son came up to me and he hugged me. And he said, "Mama, I'll see you in the morning." And I said, "Okay, I love you, son." He said, "Love you too, Mama." And that was the last time.
Yes, ma'am. I understand. Janisha, do you wanna let's pick up from here? Janisha, I words cannot express just how sorry I am for your family that this transpired.
Thank you.
And I am beyond moved by Mama Kathy. She her love and her spirit and her embracing of God is reverberating in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's moving us right now. It's moving us all. And hopefully her message will resonate throughout the city for those who heard the radio show today. And we will find a way as a community to steer away and from all the violence in general. And we will find a way as a community to heal again with law enforcement officers, to where we can have a situation or an altercation and it doesn't ultimately leads to any one death. One death is too many.
Yes.
One is too many.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I want to thank you again for coming on today. I want to thank you again for, even after what you've gone through and what you've endured, being willing to speak out today to say you don't have hate in your heart for all of law enforcement. Because those that want to divide us, those that do not want us to really resolve this issue and fix this, that's the narrative that they're pushing. They want people to think that every day, God-fearing, loving, peaceful people like yourself hate law enforcement. And that's not true. And we're sick and tired of it. And we can't have a constructive conversation because of individuals who wants to blur the narrative and bring in hate to the conversation. Ms. Janisha, Mr. Joe, Ms. Kathy, again, thank you, Ms. Kathy. I'm going to be praying for you.
Thank you.
And I'm going to be praying for all of y'all.
Thank you.
But I'm certainly going to be praying for you. And I'm going to ask God to give you the strength to continue to be a voice of reasoning, a voice of support, amazing representation of your son and his legacy. And hopefully Columbus will come out and join us on February the 17th.
Yes, please. Come out and support our family and Justice for Jarvis.
Justice for Jarvis.
Justice for Jarvis.
Justice for Jarvis. Well, I want to thank you again for joining me on Sunday Conversation. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and you just heard a very passionate conversation with the Likes family, Miss Mama Kathy Likes. I named her Mama Kathy in here, and I just tell you, the woman is she's so amazing. It wasn't hard to want to embrace her and just be appreciative of her love and care, and you just feel the warmth coming from. And Mr. Joe Likes, who used to enjoy a good football game with his son before his life was taken, and actually watching the Georgia-Alabama game when Jarvis had to leave for work. And Ms. Janisha Likes Passmore, who described herself as Bunny and Clyde with a brother. She was the baby sister, but they had an amazing relationship. And she will miss him, as she stated. So this has been Sunday Conversation. We hope to have you back with us next Sunday, same place, same time. Thank you.